Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning. So for communion this morning, if you could turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 16 to 30. All right. Luke 4 in verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, do you hear in your hometown what you have heard that you did in Capernaum?' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years. There was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet none of them were cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when he heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill, which was next which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. He walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So you might be asking, why am I sharing a passage where Jesus is getting rejected for communion? but I share it because I wanted us not to lose the fact that, you know, just like the prophets of old, they were rejected by those who were most familiar with them. And even this is the case with Jesus. These were the people that you know, the scripture says that he grew up with, that he was brought up with. This is the place where he lived for years of his life. And now coming back to it, they're like, you know, he's like, you don't accept me. Your eyes are fixed on me because of the gracious words, but you know, because he wouldn't, but because he wouldn't perform the miracles that he did that they had heard about, they didn't like it. You know, and he quotes two different places of healings that had happened, and he quotes Elijah and Elisha in verses 26 to 27, and he quotes the widow that Elijah healed, and then Elisha that the leper that Elisha healed. I'm personally more familiar with the leper Naaman. But you look at, but you look at, you know, let's look at verse 27 and the example of Elisha and Naaman. And you know, Naaman, for his plight, you know, he heard about Elisha, about healing that could, about this prophet. And so he went there, left his post, his responsibility at the time, with the blessing of his king at the time, and went to Elisha. Well, I mean, first he went to the king of Israel, but then went to Elisha. And Elisha told him to do something he didn't want to do. He told him to wash himself in the Jordan 7 times. And at the time, the Jordan was not the cleanest of bodies of water. There were certainly more that were better looking, but initially he didn't want to do it. But with the convincing of some of his attendants, he did it. He humbled himself and he washed himself in the Jordan, and as a result, he was healed. And you know, this is just an example of, you know, kind of God's power working in a way that you might not expect. You might expect that in both of these cases that both Elijah and Elisha would be healing and providing for a lot of people. But, you know, Jesus points out that with the example of Elijah that it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and there was tons of people without food, but Elijah only specifically fed this one widow in that amount of time. And, you know, essentially Jesus is pointing out, like, just because you've heard that I've done miracles in other places and you want me to do them here, you know, it's not God's will right now for me to do miracles in this place. And they didn't like it. It says all the people in the synagogue were furious with him when they heard this. It's not just a few. Everybody did not like this fact. And in verse 29, it says that they got up, they drove him out of town, and they took him to the brow of a hill. And for those that might not know this, this is the first step in the stoning process of you take them to a hill, you push the person, or however they get the person off the hill, they fall down, and then you pelt them with rocks. So they were trying to intentionally kill him through this act. And you know, they kind of missed this you might not catch it, but this miracle, it says in verse 30, but he walked straight through the crowd and went on his way. You have a whole crowd around you trying to push you off of this cliff to kill you, and you just walks right through. you'd imagine you have a crowd of people trying to force you off of a place. You really can't just simply walk through them. You know, maybe unless you just walk around them, but it says that he walked right through the crowd. And so I would kind of chalk that up as to a miracle. You have a crowd of people trying to kill you and you just walk straight through. But I read this passage this morning to kind of just highlight that, number one, that sometimes even the people that are most familiar with those that are with us, if we're speaking the truth, they might not listen to us as the people in Nazareth did to Jesus, because they were so familiar with who he was. They didn't believe what was said about him. They didn't believe what he at that time. And they didn't accept it because they didn't do what they wanted him to do in the first place. And all he simply did was point out to them that, you know, God does what he does through the prophets and even through him. And it's not necessarily going to, it's not there to show how great the prophet is. It's to show God's power, to show, his love. But also to show where people's hearts are as well. And I think also to, to show that they really weren't they clearly didn't want to hear the truth. They were angry about it. The fact that Jesus pointed it out to them that they, he just pointed out that prophets are normally rejected in their hometown, and they got angry with that. People that might be closest to us might not want to hear it. They might be angry. But I think we need to go from Jesus' example, and he went on his way, as hard as that is, because of the present time, the people there in Nazareth weren't willing to hear it. And that's, the example that he gave to his disciples when he sent them out, the 72 and the 12 initially. If somebody doesn't want to let you stay with them, or they reject you, then move on. And because there's always the next person that Jesus was looking to heal, Jesus was looking to interact with. And I think also, too, the people of Nazareth weren't really requesting that Jesus do a miracle. They were demanding it. And I think sometimes in our prayers as well, they can be more of demands instead of requests of God. And it's sometimes those demands, obviously, that are up for debate, like God, like, you have to do this, otherwise I won't trust you, or God, Jesus, you need to do this, otherwise I won't trust you. But if they're done as we see in the scriptures, if they're done in requests, it leaves the door open for, God to say either this isn't the time, or, no, this isn't my will right now. And it helps us to continue to trust God when we pray as a request before him instead of a demand, like the people in Nazareth did. They were demanding these miracles be done, and Jesus simply said no, but they weren't open to that, clearly. So as we reflect on Jesus and his life, let's not forget that he too faced rejection by the people closest to him, the people he grew up with. And let's also remember where the people that were rejecting him, their hearts were at the time, and why they were doing that. I think it's important to reflect on, not just the good things that Jesus did, but also the things that people were doing to him as he went through life. How I think it helps us see our lives more clearly. So let's pray for the communion. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. God, we pray that as we continue to meditate on your word, that you would help us to just to see your life, the good and the bad, God, even as you're rejected by those that grew up with you, parents and possibly the people his own age. God, they wanted to stone you on the spot here when you visited Nazareth, God, but obviously you didn't let them. You just walked straight through the crowd, which is a miracle in and of itself. God, we pray that you would help us to see more of your truth. God, help our hearts not to become hardened, God, that as we pray that they would genuinely be requests to you, God, and not statements of things that we expect you to do because they've happened elsewhere, God. We hear of so many people being healed even now, and sometimes we can our requests for healing can become demands, God, or whatever they may be, God. I pray that you would keep our hearts soft to your will, what your will is for the given time for our lives. I pray that you'd help us to reflect on scriptures, God, and even see that sometimes, as it was in Nazareth, that, again, those closest to us may not hear the truth simply because they are familiar with us. But also to see that's not always the whole story, God. Where our hearts are truly matter. And I pray that you would help us to continue to, again, have soft hearts, and so that we can be open to your will for our lives. And we trust, that we would continue to trust you no matter the circumstances, God. Pray all this in your son's name. Amen.